Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday School. I invite you to find your seats, and we're going to get started here. It is the blessed day of Christmas Cane. What is Christmas Cane, you say? Well, Christmas Adam comes before Christmas Eve. You have Christmas Day, then what comes next? Christmas Cane. This is the logic of the young boy Eric when he was younger. Thank you, Nathan. Because Adam and Eve, then comes Cain, Abel, Seth, and we stop after Seth because that just gets ridiculous, if it wasn't already. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. Let's begin our time this morning with a word of prayer. Would you please bow with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for allowing us to be together this morning in this place. Lord, bless our time this morning. May it be profitable for us. May it honor you, and may we endeavor to draw closer to you in priority, in activity, in all that we do in 2022. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 2022, you ask? Yes, 2022 is coming soon, and every year I think about talking to our church about planning for the new year in Bible reading and prayer and devotionals. I think about it almost too late, and then I figure the first Sunday of the new year we'll start talking about it, but then by then, if you haven't started, you're already a week behind, and that's really discouraging. So what I'd like to do is talk about Bible reading, prayer, devotions for 2022. And a few weeks ago I mentioned what I'd like to do is hear from you all if you have any particular habits or unique things that you do and have been successful this last year that have been helpful to you in fulfilling whatever objective you had for Bible reading. We'll talk about some of the plans we have. But one of the things I've tried to stress from the time that I was called here to be pastor was not that I wanted, I wanted to encourage improvement and success in daily devotions, Bible reading, prayer, more than I wanted to encourage getting everybody through the Bible in 1 year or getting everybody through the Bible in 2 years or whatever it might be. I wanted to set goals that individuals could reasonably attain, they could succeed at, and that they could then be encouraged by that success and move on to bigger and better things. One of the prayers in my life, whether it's with devotions, with giving, with serving, with any area of life, is I ask the Lord to help me do well and to succeed so that I might do better or more in the future, whether that's serving, giving, reading, studying, memorizing, knowing, because I don't want to become stagnant or rest on my laurels, because oftentimes when you do that, you realize you slip and slide down that hill of growth, so. But to begin our time this morning, please open your Bibles to Psalm 37. And there's no outline for this morning. There is some room. There's some white space on your handouts for the morning sermon if you want to take some notes. And there'll be papers in the back we'll look at. You can take and jot down notes on those as well if you'd like to later on. But I wanted this to be more of a less formal time this morning. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." How would you try to explain that or the meaning of that verse to a friend, to a relative, to someone who was interested in understanding what the Bible says? How would you explain Psalm 37, verse 4? Any thoughts? Let's start off with some easier questions, maybe. What's it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Stephanie. Okay.
Then what you ask him for, what you want, becomes less and less of what you thought you wanted and more of what he would have for you.
Okay. So, okay, good. Anybody else? What does it mean to delight ourselves in the Lord? Is that a strange concept, maybe? Just to, as you're just trying to think through it, what's to delight oneself in the Lord? What are some things in life that you take delight in? This should be much easier on a post-Christmas Sunday morning at 9:25. What are some things that you delight in, that you take delight in your life? Just, there's got to be something here. Lon.
Great grandkids.
Great grandkids. Okay, Phil. Okay, family, fellowship, fun, food. I like the F's there, okay? From Phil, not Evan. Yeah, Noah.
It being warm inside.
It being warm inside, okay, you take delight in climate-controlled environments, okay? Anybody else? What else do you take delight in? A nice cold drink of something on a hot day, a nice hot drink of something on a cold day. Company of a friend, of a loved one, in a job well done. I've been saying this for more than a year now, but with all the chaos that unfurled in the last 18 months, really, has taken me out of my a realm in which I get much delight, which is working with wood and doing projects with wood. But there is something about a job well done or a project well done that is just a delight. To give gifts, to receive gifts. There are things that we delight. Companionship, interactions. So delighting is this joy, this happiness of heart, pleasure. Okay, so if we have that general idea, delight yourself in the Lord, so then the object of our delight or the area of our delight is in the Lord. So if we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we try to figure out what it means and looks like to delight ourselves in the Lord, it says that he will give us the desires of our heart. What does that last part mean? That he will give us the desires of our heart. I think both Marianne and Stephanie made that same point, that delighting ourselves in the Lord is going to essentially alter those things that our hearts desire. It's going to exert pressure and influence over what we desire. The more that we desire, or the more that we delight in the Lord, the less we desire those things that we know that he detests, the wickedness of the world, those fleeting passions of the world. But more than that, I think one of the things that I was reading through this last year in the scriptures, I think I've got a convicting or encouraging insight, in the sense that If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. And I think that that's another way of saying that He will open Himself up to us, that He will give Himself to us. Not that He withholds Himself from believers because we don't have our affections completely in line, but the more that we delight ourselves in God, our desire will be for the Lord, and He will give us the desires of our heart. And flowing around that, well, we will desire the things that He desires, the things that He wants for us. Looking at the verses around it, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. I think there's this, again, this picture of exactly the one of the main evidences that our desires will be conformed to and after God. But I think that we will come to know Him and understand Him more and more the more that we delight in Him. And I think that is an encouraging blessing. Because so often, at least for me, in years past, it was almost like, okay, if I seek first God's kingdom, He'll give me all these other things that I want. or if I you know, delight in the Lord, He'll give me these things that I want and need. And again, not in like a crass or wicked sense, but there was almost an unnecessary disconnect between those two things. Again, just in a feeble and unsanctified mind, or not fully sanctified mind. But so much of what God does and gives is Himself, and helps us to be molded and controlled by His word, by Himself, that we might live and honor Him. I mean, this is the picture of the Christian life, is to become more mentally oriented towards Christ, more filled with God's word and God's desires through His, you know, we learn through His word, that then those are the things which carry us along and push us along in life, that there are primary influences, because we get to know God more. He helps us to understand Him more. We have our desires conformed after His desires, and those are things that He gives to us. Just an interesting, at least an insight, or at least a beginning this discussion this morning about daily or regular devotional life. In your devotional life in the past 12 months, that was me, sorry, in the past 12 months, what has been one of the factors that you have seen that has regularly stopped you from spending intentional time with the Lord in His word, in prayer, any of those things? What is a factor, a significant factor, that has repeatedly reared its head and been an obstacle that has stopped you from achieving your goals in 2021 of prayer, Bible reading, meditation, memorization, whatever they might have been? Lon. Okay. Anybody else? If you had goals, which I hope you did for 2021, let me maybe ask a better question here, a pre-question. When 2021 ends in 5 days, how many of you are on track to complete those goals you set up 12 months ago? Lon's on track. Marianne's on track. I shouldn't be saying names. Some of us are on track. Okay. All right. Nathan's on track. All right. Those of us who might not be on track, I shouldn't have said names. I see that hand, by the way. those of us who might not be on track, what has been an obstacle? Or for those of us who are still on track, what obstacles did you notice but had to overcome? Or how did you overcome any kinds of obstacles? What helped you to be able to push through and fulfill those goals? Let's have some community encouragement one to another. Either here's a thing that has really hampered me this year. I had eye surgery and was blind for 11 months. That really stopped my reading of the Bible. Okay, all right, there you have that. Or whatever. Anybody? How many of us, whether you're on track or not, this is going well, by the way, found that leisure time, leisure activities, not work, not those things necessary for survival and normal maintenance of relationships, family relationships, excluding those two things, how often was leisure or leisure activities a potential hindrance to completing your goals? Anybody? No one ever watched TV when you could have for another hour than rather than picked up the Bible you haven't read in the 2 days. No one ever, you know, kept the music playing when you could have turned it off for 15 minutes and an extra 15 minutes rather than turning it off and let your mind and heart be quiet down a little bit so you could focus your mind on the Lord and prayer. Leisure is not bad. Leisure activity is not bad. Sitting and enjoying a campfire with a family or a cup of coffee with a friend, or reading a good book, or watching a wholesome or unproblematic TV show or movie is there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. That's okay to do. The problem is when those things begin to dominate and begin to take up more of the real estate than your schedule allows to get your priorities done. Is that me? It's got to be me. I'm gonna switch to this red mic, Micah. You know what? No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not that kind of a preacher. I don't know how to do that. I don't have that whole mannerism down to use the microphone like a whatever. All right, so. So for leisure, has anyone have any success stories that you can share about how this year you accomplished what you didn't accomplish in a year or years past, or you overcame obstacles that you maybe had a hard time overcoming in the past? Any help here? I don't want to just share all the things that I tried to do or don't do. I want us to learn one from another as well. Any success stories or things? Yes, Stephanie.
Just as part of our school day, I really wanted to read, over the course of last year and into this next year, the entire Bible out loud to the kids every day. And for the first time in all of our years of schooling, we're on track to do that. And that's encouraging to me, whether or not it bears fruit in the lives of the children. It's up to the Lord. But for me, to read the word aloud and to underline as I go the things where I see God's sovereignty at work in Scripture, it's been really encouraging. Hmm.
Okay, good. That's encouraging. Thank you, Stephanie. Anybody else? Anybody overcome any obstacles? Stephanie, since you haven't talked to me, I'll go ahead. Yeah.
But there were those days when I was not feeling the joy of the Lord. You know, it's not a feeling, but those days when you just have to push through
That's a very, I think, helpful insight. If we wait for feeling good about doing something, we'll never do anything well. If I was going to only invest in relationships with anybody when I wanted to, or when I had nothing else to do, whatever it might be, I'd have no relationships with anybody. If I wanted, sometimes it is important to remember that God does want our obedience, and that is sometimes needs to go before our, even where our heart's desire is, because honoring God and obeying Him, even if our hearts aren't exactly in line with that, is still a submissive act of worship and of giving God His due, knowing that my sinful heart isn't where it ought to be. Now, this is not, none of you have ever done this, but once in a while, I sometimes have come to church wanting not to be at church. In years past, or even in present, sometimes, believe it or not, there's a Sunday or a Wednesday that I just would rather do something else. Sinful, sinful pastor. And whether I was a pastor or not, and I came to church, which I can't remember a time when I stayed home from church in years past because I didn't want to come to church. My heart was grumpy about it, which is a blessing and a kindness of God in that as well. But I can say that without a doubt, I can't remember a time when I went to church wishing I didn't want to go, having left in a worse state than when I came. I can remember almost with you particularity times when I was particularly blessed by being at church when my heart wasn't fully in it. Why? Because gathering with the people of the Lord is encouraging. And it can be a corrective to my grumpy attitude and my poor priorities. Hearing the word of God preached, or preaching God's word to myself, can be a corrective to a heart that is obstinate. Singing the praises to the Lord is a way to help get my mind off of my own selfish, self-centered, woe is me, Eeyore kinds of attitudes, and get them back on Him. So obedience is important. And it's through obedience is one of the tools that God uses to help to change our hearts, to help us to delight in Him. Does anybody have any, before I mercifully move on, anybody else have any, no, just kidding. Not doing like that. Have any things that could bless us in struggles that you've had to go through with trying to fulfill your goals you've made for personal spiritual devotions, successes, difficulties, whatever it might be, anything that you'd like to share? I see that hand. And I also know where a certain young man gets his exuberance for answers from. Yes, young lady, go ahead.
I was just thinking about prayer and how oftentimes it's over the years it's an overwhelming idea to hide yourself away for a set amount of time just to pray, and I have found delight in just the moment someone comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Increasing delight. So I rejoice in
that. Yeah, that's encouraging and helpful to use those regular experiences in life to prompt us to prayer. One thing that I, Phil, go ahead. That's encouraging, and I think that's just anecdotal evidence of redeeming the small occasions for those things that are of eternal weight. One of the things that I've done in that regard is I get a lot of text messages or emails, and before not as many years ago as I'd like to say it, but years ago, I used to say, reply to a text or an email, I'll pray for you, I'll be praying for you. But I've made it a habit where I'm not going to even type those words to send them. Because of actually, even a short prayer for that person. Because I don't want to get distracted, forget about it, and then realize, oh, 2 weeks ago, that was going on, and I was going to pray, and I don't think I did, and whatever it might have been. So making those unique, in-the-moment decisions to prioritize praying to the Lord for the person, the thing, whatever might be going on, is good. And as an aside, I think that's one of those reasons why the discipline of fasting when it comes to seeking the Lord is so important because that hunger, the pang of hunger will bring to mind, you're hungry, why am I hungry? Oh, yes, and then you can pray about it. In a similar way, if there's something that's gripping my soul, fear, anxiety over something, if I determine in my heart that I'm going to use that anxiety for God's glory, and when I'm fearful about issue X comes to mind, instead of running off in that worry or letting it sit there, use that as that encouragement to, Lord, you are in control. Help me not to be worried about this. And Lord, please work your hand in this and through this, using that anxiety as a catalyst for prayer. And I think if we use those providential experiences, that can help us in our directing of our heart and our mind to the Lord. One of the things I think that is probably it's probably universal for us as believers, when it comes to reading the Bible, praying in a dedicated, way, memorizing scripture, those kinds of things. I think one of the key difficulties is just our ability and our willingness to prioritize things aright and then to carry through our priorities. That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. I was talking to someone just recently, and how she mentioned that they read at nighttime their Bibles, and sometimes they fall asleep and whatever else. Sometimes they miss them when they're with people, but you know what? The next day they pick up and they try to make up for it. Or if they're out with family or out activities, providentially hinder them from being able to read the Bible in the evening as they do. she says, you know, I know that I miss it. And it's that attitude of, I think, having that priority and that habit, strive to build a workable habit that you can then miss when you don't do it. You notice its lack when you don't do it. And that's a great place to try to get to. And it's one of those things that is hard, I think, to achieve. I mean, anybody who's tried any kind of, whether it's, you know, studying endeavor, physical endeavor, whatever it might be, you need to be dedicated and diligent about doing the long and hard work over the course of the time period, because no amount of last minute cramming is going to do the job that dutiful, diligent work over the course of weeks and months would have prepared you for. Well, there's so much more I wanted to get to this morning, which is more a testament of my inability to plan timing-wise. But I want to just share a couple things. I printed out several different reading plans, different ways of getting through the Bible, getting through things. There's a two-year plan. There's reading every 5 days. There's a Bible plan that lets you read, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. There's six different categories of scripture you read through. And if you do that, you know, throughout the week, you'll get through the Bible in a year. There's lots of plans that are available that can help you. And I'll just share that I've enjoyed reading through the Bible this last year. And it's been really encouraging for me in the format that I've done it, and the speed that I've done it, and all the things that I've just kind of made it my own. I've been increasingly encouraged and built up as an individual through it. So what I want us to do as a church is to be striving to set goals of reading, praying, meditating, memorizing, and striving to achieve those. Not beating ourselves up when we don't, because the Lord is not going to love us more if we read one more Bible verse than today than yesterday. But I think there will be an increasing striving to delight ourselves in the Lord the more we set an achievable goal and go through with it. In all those areas that we might then understand our God better, see His hand in our lives clearer, rejoice in His kindness to us more freely, give Him thanks more reflexively, and then share the truth of God's word and of God's love more easily. But there's all kinds of plans, and I would, again, just encourage you to strive to make that a priority as you look into next year. Again, we got a week left this year. You know, and hey, if you're way behind already, maybe get a jump start on next year's plan. You build yourself in a week of wiggle room here, right? That's okay. I think it's okay, you know. And be creative. Be creative in making it work with your own learning style, your own reading style, your own everything. I mean, just as an aside, one of the things that's been helpful for me is I purchased an audio Bible in an app that I use. So I'll listen to it while I'm looking at my printed Bible, reading through my printed Bible, and I'm able to focus better if I can listen and read at the same time. That and noise-canceling headphones makes it easier that way, although the house might fall down around me if that's going on, if I don't do it early enough. But that helps me to then be more focused and to be more intentional about reading and letting the word cut into me. And it's helpful. And one of the reasons I bought the Bible, the audio Bible in the app is because it in that app, it has the plan, one of the plans I've always liked using. And so it'll actually, it'll skip the tracks to the next, you know, the from the Old to the New Testament right away. It'll go there. It's just so easy for me. So all I have to do is do my Bible drill and flip to the next page of my Bible, and we're good to go. And that, some of those things are just creative ways that we can be intentional about not just pushing through at all times. Well, sometimes it is that. And there have been days this last year where I can count on my hand at least 3 or 4 days where I remember reading and thinking, man, my mind was listening and reading and looking, and I just think it went whew. But those days are fewer and farther between, but they still happen. And that's a little discouraging, so just next day you just keep plugging on. And so I want us to be able to, with the psalmist, to say, I have rejoiced your testimonies as much as in all riches, Psalm 119:14. I mean, we can do that conceptually. We know and say with a declarative belief, the Bible is authoritative and it is precious. It is. But there's that experiential, yes, it is precious. I see, I don't just know that there's value, but I actually get the value. And I'm seeing the gleam of the gemstones more today than it did yesterday. Or Psalm 119:72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Well, 19:27, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Or 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. You know, these are, I think, as a church and as believers, we would say these are true, these are good or right desires to aspire to. But my hope is, and my prayer for me, for my family, for our church, is that we would be diligent in our individual actions and our corporate actions, that we can, with that, from the heart rejoicing and that joy, that those, the delighting in the Lord, say, yes, I do find these to be more precious than jewels. Well, maybe in a couple of weeks we'll talk about scripture memory and prayer particularly, even though I was talking more about Bible reading this morning. But I would encourage you to use this last week to, if you're a person who likes goals and calendar plans, great. You have a week to plan. You might even have some paper plans you could look at. I think one of them has just going through the New Testament in a year. And I don't mean that in any kind of a dismissive, just to the New Testament. If you've never done that or you have a hard time doing that, man, do that. It'll be great. It'll be great. And I think you will be encouraged and the Lord will be glorified. So make use of this the last wee hours of 2021 and plan to succeed. So next year we can have more we can talk about, right? Right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, help us to desire your word more than we do our daily food. To know that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Help us to get to know your ways that we might know you. Help us to delight in you that you might give us the desires of our hearts. Lord, bless our time of fellowship, Lord, and the service to follow. Bless those who are making their way here for service today and those who are unable to for various reasons. May you be glorified in Christ's name. Amen.